There's a significant event happened today. If you understand prophetically what was happening when President Trump acknowledged Israel as the capital and Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, that was very, very significant. If you understand biblical prophecy, especially understanding from Cyrus, that whole time from the children of Israel being released from Babylonian captivity, under Cyrus, Isaiah 45 is when God ordained that Cyrus would be in office. Trump was the 45th president. And people don't understand this, but he has a calling and a specific destiny. It doesn't matter what you feel about him. It's the calling on his life that every president before him promised they would do that, but they didn't do it. But he did that. But in doing that, Cyrus acknowledged the children of Israel's right to go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And that's when he let go of the captivity. And that's when the age of, that's when all the prophecies of Zerubbabel, Zechariah, Haggai, all of Zechariah's prophecies, none of those prophecies came to pass. Haggai 2 never came to pass. It says, once again, I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea and dry land. The treasures of all nations will come into my house, and the glory of the latter day house will be greater than the former. For in this place I will give peace and prosperity. They were speaking of Solomon's temple. That generation never fulfilled that prophecy. They didn't fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 6. They didn't fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 10 with the white horse. Zechariah 6 with the crowning of the priesthood. They didn't do any of that for that generation. But it was all prophetically laid out for our generation. And the fact that Cyrus or President Trump just acknowledged Jerusalem's right in their capital, that's like him acknowledging the captivity of the children of Israel, releasing them to go build and acknowledge this is your right to build. You see that? And that means all these other prophecies are about to come to pass. And if you got ears to hear, if you got some serious ears to hear, that means the prophecies of the great last day, crowning of the church, wealth transference, the glory of the latter day house being greater than the former, all of that is about to follow in too. If you understand how all that plays out, glory to God. Because when they released the children of Israel out of Babylon, they brought the wealth out of Babylon too, which was our modern day Iraq. Hello. And they forged a crown and they crowned the priesthood. All of that was so prophetic for this hour. It's so amazing. If you want to understand that more, listen to the Golden Lampstand online, because we are in that season now. And him doing that, just acknowledging specifically, not Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and acknowledging that was the capital. That's like, that again, that is like, Cyrus acknowledging the children of Israel's right to build. And that's what's happening right now. Amen. Woo. Just give God glory. If you see from the king priest government side of what's happening, all that's about to release. The whole golden lampstand, that whole thing, the final headstone coming in, the what, all of that is, we are in the days, my friends. It's all coming to pass. Praise God. Very monumental that that took place. I believe that that needed to take place before the crowning of the church. And literally, he could literally crown the church before the end of the year, if you understand what that means. So many of you do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Glory to God. I'm ready. We occupy, but that event, God had to have a specific instrument in place for that to take place. And I believe we're in it. It's amazing to see the biblical prophecy. Once that crowning takes place, we're off and running. Amen. The whole church globally will be off and running. There'll be a season like no other season on planet Earth. Nothing like what we'll see, the acceleration of the kingdom of God in so many fronts, so many areas. Just imagine when you put global wealth in the hands of God's people to fulfill every single God-ordained mandate. From rescuing children all over the world, to feeding the hungry all over the world, to preaching the gospel all over the world, all of a sudden, funds that have been held up and controlled. Did you know that God spoke about the control of those funds, even when, under the Church of Philadelphia? He spoke about the global powers controlling those funds. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? Some of you did. I don't know how I was going to preach on this. I'm just exhorting right now. He said, unto the church of Philadelphia, he said, they that are Jews, that say they're Jews and are not, but serve the synagogue of Satan, their system will bow down. The global money machine, anybody knows anything about fiat money and the global money machine, has been controlled by Jewish elite families. Not the ones that are true Jews, but they're not. They're serving the other side, and they've controlled, and they've done more damage than anybody could ever imagine. Their whole system, which I believe is Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation, that whole financial system is going to come down at the end. But it's going, God's going to break the back of it. Right before, when he breaks the back, they'll bow down. The crown, only the crown is going to cause them to bow. He that had the key of David, when he releases the crown of the house of David, when he crowns his church, it'll cause that system to bow. That money will be released in the hands of God's people to do God's will. Amen. And that money is going to release all over the world simultaneously. God has his people positioned. He has you positioned, I'm positioned, we're positioned. He has us positioned for this transference. Amen. And that crown with the seven horns and the seven eyes is going to release. We're in season right now. Or look at your neighbor and say, we're in season. We have the Cyrus in office. We're coming out of Babylonian captivity. Coming out of Babylon. Mystery Babylon is the Babylonian system that controls. And we release out of that. Amen. And when you see all that prophetically, it's just, I was looking at it today. I'm like, oh, look at us, where we're at right now. Hallelujah. Finally. Praise God. Don't believe everything you hear about our president. Listen to what he said. Watch what he does. People's thoughts and opinions are forged by what the news media says about him. You don't know him. You don't know what happened when the evangelicals had him in a room. You don't know when they led him to the Lord. People don't know that he was led to the Lord by the evangelicals. He confessed. He goes, I know who put me in office. God put me in office. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus before he became president in that room of evangelicals, and God's favor came upon him. And he's serving the will and the mandate of God for this hour. You may not agree with all his policies, but I'm telling you right now, God put him in office. Amen? For a specific purpose that nobody under the establishment would ever do. Nobody would do what he's doing right now. And that's why they hate him, because they had another plan. They didn't have God's plan, but he's got God's plan. Amen? And we're about to see all that release. I don't ever get too political with you here, because I like to stay on the right hand of God, but I'm telling you, political events are shaping the very future of the church right now. And if you understand how these political events are shaping the future of the church, you're going to see God fulfill his will. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Literally, we're in season with the crown. I mean, this month could be. Before the year's end, I don't know. But we're in season now. That was a major, major prophetic move that took place today. Major. That was just like the children of Israel being released from Babylonian captivity. And they're right now to build their temple. They had a right with a mandate from Cyrus. And guess what Cyrus did? People realize that Cyrus gave them the grant. He gave Zerubbabel the grant to go build. Amen? And Cyrus is going to be very, very instrumental in releasing what's about to happen, the wealth, to build God's kingdom in the last days. Without his signature, it won't happen for those of you who are listening to me right now. He has to sign. And he's on board. Amen. Amen and amen. And hallelujah. Without Zerubbabel being released with the wealth, Zerubbabel could not build under the King Priest government. That brings Zechariah 4 into play right now. And 5. Yeah, because Carlos has got some awesome stuff. That whole thing. Carlos, come up here. I'm going to flow the Spirit. Yeah, pull your Bible out to Zechariah chapter 5. I want you to hear this about Zechariah, because all of this stuff, all these things about these sexual things going on, all that's prophesied. That whole thing. Now listen to this, because this is Zechariah 5. You want something deep? Ready? Chapter 5 comes before chapter 6. Whoa, yeah, it's pretty deep. Zechariah, how many know what Zechariah 6 is? Raise your hand. I'm going to set this up. How many of you know what's in Zechariah 6? Come on, you know what's in Zechariah 6? That's when the three men came out of Babylon and they were bearing gold and treasure. They had silver and they took Joshua, not the one with Moses, but Joshua the high priest during the exit, the time of that came out of Babylon. Joshua was the high priest. Zerubbabel was the king. And that's why we call it the king priest government. They took Joshua. They sat him in a king's throne in Zechariah 6. And they took the wealth specifically of Babylon. They forged the wealth of Babylon into a crown. Babylonian wealth. Say Babylonian wealth. That is so specific. And they crowned him right there. And now he said, now I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and the council of peace will be between the two offices, king and priest. There'll be harmony between the two offices. Say harmony between the two offices. I saw Bill Winston today preaching that very thing, the harmony between the office of king and office of priest. When they sat him in, they crowned him. That is what we're looking for, because that was a prophetic event signifying the crowning of the church, was the Church of Philadelphia must be crowned. There must be a priesthood crowned with kingly authority and kingly wealth coming out of the house of David. Amen? There must be something that overrides the systems of the world. And that crown is what overrides it. It overrode it in David's day. It'll override it in this day. Amen? It's the same crown, same authority. Now that's Zechariah 6. That is what is coming very soon. But Zechariah 5 prophesy what would happen and precede that. Now listen to what's happening right now with Zechariah 5. Amen? Because it's specifically laid out all this judgment you're seeing and these people, all this coming out, all these hidden things being brought to light, these skeletons in the closet, all that was prophesied. Carlos, are you ready?
I'm going to have to do New King James. Okay. And it is in the heart, but it's good to get it exactly how God has it in his word, and then you can expand. So, by the way, it actually, God paints the whole picture from Zechariah 1, I mean, all the way through him coming into the earth, salvation. And then Zechariah 4, as we're familiar with Pastor LaRue, he's taught us on the golden lampstand, and how God shows Zechariah what's fixing to take place, but he showed it to him in prophetic imagery. So Zechariah wouldn't know what that meant, or it was for our time. But even though he didn't know what it meant at the time, for us, I mean, God has opened it up, and the golden lampstand is an operation of what God's doing in these last days, and he shows you what he's going to do, how he's going to lay the capstone. But before he starts speaking about the curse that's coming over the face of the earth in Zechariah 4, speaking of the golden lampstand, which it's all an operation of light that God's doing. That's what John saw too. Yeah, all that ties into the book of Revelation. But these are the details if you want to know how it's going to take place in detail. Like God gave us the whole map. I mean, it's so clear. So he says that Zerubbabel, symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, would hold a plumb line in his hand, which means what? He's going to make all things that are crooked, he's going to make them straight. Everything that was out of order, everything, he's the one that's going to come and make it straight. And he's in the things that are holding the church back and all that. He says he's going to make the mountains plain. So he's coming to do all that. But then he tells you, okay, so this is coming over the face of the earth. And then he shows Zechariah, this is how it's going to take place. And he shows him a flying scroll. And so it's, you know, a scroll and it's suspended. And okay, so we're going to go to chapter 5, Zechariah chapter 5. Well, I'm going to start at chapter 5, verse 1. It says, then I turned and I raised my eyes and I saw a flying scroll. And he said to me, the Lord asked him, what do you see, Zechariah? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width is 10 cubits. And if you multiply it, it's like 15 feet by 30 feet. So it's this huge scroll that he sees in a vision. Then he says, verse 3, he says, he said to me, this is a curse that's going over the whole face of the earth. Every thief shall be expelled. And in the King James, it says cut off, I believe. And some it says every thief will be vanished. And then it says according to what it says on one side of the scroll. And every perjurer or every liar will be expelled or cut off or vanished. So every thief, according to what it says on one side of the scroll, every thief is going to be vanished or cut off. And according to what it says on the other side, every liar would be cut off. And it says, and then it says in verse 4, I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And now he now introduces people that are misusing his name as well, not just liars, but the ones that are misrepresenting him. So it says, and it shall remain in the midst of that house, and it will consume it with its timbers and stones. And that's why even when the elections began and God began to expose, that's just the beginning. Like, it's going to go all the way through. Like, God's going to bring it all out into the light where there's no hiding. Then it says in verse 5, then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, lift up your eyes now. So this is, he just showed him, thieves and liars, I'm going to cause all this. There's no hiding. I'm going to cause it to enter their house. It's going to expose it to the uttermost. It's going to consume it with its timbers and stones. Then it says in verse 5, so after he showed him that, he says, and the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, lift up your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth. So I asked, what is it? And he said to me, it is a basket that is going forth. He said also, this is their resemblance throughout the earth. Well, what resemblance of what is he talking about? He's talking about this that I just showed you up here. This is a resemblance. I'm fixing to show you what it looks like symbolically. And he says, so I asked, what is it? And he said, this is the basket that's going forth. So he said, this is the resemblance throughout the earth. Those thieves and those liars and thieves. He said, here's a lead disc or a lead cover that was lifted up. And this is a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he said, this is wickedness. So that whole operation of the liars and the thieves, it's wickedness. And it's symbolic. God shows it to him in a basket with a lead cover taken off. And it says, and he thrust her down. So after he opens it up, so he opens up the basket and there's a woman inside. And God says, this is wickedness. And then she gets shoved back in. It says, then he thrust her back down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Verse 9. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming in the wind with their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between the earth and the heaven and heaven. And I said to the angel that talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said to me, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. And in some translations it says Babylon. And when it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. And if you read in some translations, it says, and in its time, they're going to bring that basket back down and set it in its place. So what's happening is all those thieves and liars, like now to translate it in the natural so that we can understand prophetically what's happening, this whole system that the devil was taking into this one world government to set up eventually the Antichrist, God has stopped that whole operation, which a lot of them, matter of fact, most of them don't know they're being used, don't know that they're walking in deception, don't know they're veiled, but a lot of them do. But the bottom line is, it's the devil behind the scenes, but he was taking it into a no turning back zone. And God has right now interceded, and this whole operation of thieves and liars, God's going to expose them to the uttermost, and that whole system of corrupt elites, globalists, financial globalists, God's going to suspend them. That whole operation is going to be suspended between the heaven and the earth for a season while the white horse runs. Then when the church is taken out, it's completely let go. Because God suspends it, they're still moving in that direction. It's just that it's suspended for a season. So then once the church is taken out, then it says that it will be set in its place. And by that time, nobody wants to be in the earth. And then it continues going into it. Yeah. And then God takes care of them according to what it says in the book of Revelation. Babylonia coming down.
The wickedness of the woman in the basket, that's Mystery Babylon. In Revelation, she's a woman. And see, that whole, if you understand biblical prophecy and Mystery Babylon, how all that works, that's the financial system moving to one world government, global elitism, all of that. They're all trying to move it to their desired end. And so what he's saying, that was all in that basket, that whole system representing that woman of wickedness, which is Mystery Babylon. She's going to come back out. But what he's saying is God put it over lead, and he had two or angelic hosts or whatever women lifted up to suspend that whole operation, to stop it for a season. Had to. God had to come in and put a halt on it. You don't understand how fast they were moving to this. I mean, God only knows what this country would have looked like. Our church would have lost so many liberties had it, that election. I'm just telling you, it swung the other way. However, God has suspended the whole thing for a season for intervention of the church. But like he's saying, that whole basket's come back down. We know Mystery Babylon will come back into power in the 7-year tribulation. In fact, it will not come totally be destroyed until the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 18. And matter of fact, Mystery Babylon is going to come back into power. But God said, now I want you to see this. All right, Zechariah in chapter 4 sees the seven, he sees the candlestick made of seven torches, okay? He sees that. In Zechariah 4, it's the final light. It was God's plan for the final light. He was going to set the final headstone in. He saw it was a light that was going to be born in the last days for the headstone of the church to release the final move of God. This new light was coming. And it had seven lamps burning, and Zechariah was looking at that. Now, go over to Revelation real quick. John sees this lampstand that Zechariah prophesied about. He sees it. Now look at Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as were a trumpet talking with me, and he said, come up hither. I'm going to tell you something else about the book of Revelation, which I truly believe. They've had a very hard time dealing with the sound of the last trump, because they're trying to put that judgment into trumpets and where they're going to put the pre, mid, or post tribulation. You know, and say, well, it can't be because he's coming at the sound of the last trump, which is the final trump. So that's when he's going to come get his church. I don't believe that's actually talking about the trumpet judgments. I believe that's talking about who's in office right now. Throw that out there for you. The church, he's going to come back for his church at the sound of the last trump, meaning that that's how close we could be. Just ponder it. Praise God. That's just personal opinion. I'm not establishing a doctrine. Okay, ready? As I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me and said, come up hither, I'll show you things which must come out hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He saw the jaspers and the fire flowing. Amen. And the four and 20 beasts. And he says in verse 5, and out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunders. Say thunders. And they were what? Seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which these are the seven spirits of God. He sees the exact same thing in the next chapter. The seven spirits of God, but he sees them is not as seven lamps. He sees them as seven eyes and seven horns resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The same seven spirits of God. So these are the seven spirits of God. Prophetically playing out, he's looking at the operation of a lampstand. He sees it, and then he sees it again. Amen? He sees what was going to happen in Zechariah 4. All that operations have got to be released into the earth. That operation's about to be ordained. In chapter 5, it gets ordained. God ordains that operation in chapter 5. Amen? Now just look at chapter 5 for a minute. This is a refresher. This is a prophecy refresher. Isn't it nice to know where we are? Isn't it nice to know exactly where we are and seeing prophetic events, knowing how to interpret them through the truth? God is suspending that whole system. He capped it all up and suspended it, so his church is going to get released. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to actually go to chapter 3 for a minute because I want you to see something. Because he actually says that very thing in regarding the Church of Philadelphia. That system has to get suspended. It's not done away with. He describes it here as it bows down. It has to bow for a season. Zechariah 5 describes the whole system of wickedness, mystery Babylon being suspended. Amen? Now watch this. Praise God. Revelation 3, verse 7. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things say, he that's holy, he that's true, he that has the key of David. He that openeth, say he opens, and no man's going to shut this door when he opens it. That's very important. Once God opens, he that has the house of David. Right here he says the key of David, but if you go back to Isaiah 22 where he's referencing, the only other time this was spoken, he said he that has the key of the what? House of David. Say house of David. Now, Isaiah 22, Shebna gets fired. All right? So Shebna gets fired. All right? Air conditioner on in here. So, Shebna's over the treasury house. He gets fired, and God puts new stewards in charge of the treasury. Amen? Eliakim comes in, and Eliakim gets the key of the house of David, and God sets a new stewardship over the house of the treasuries. That's what he's talking about here. He that has the key of the house of David, I'm going to open this house. And when I do, I'm going to release the wealth of this house. And I'm going to put it in the hands of new stewards now. Wealth. Say wealth. This is a very, very important part of what's happening in the last days. There must be a global wealth transference. The Lord, I don't care what anybody says, no, the Lord will not return until this happens. It's part of his plan and purpose. So when he releases this, he puts the wealth in the hands of new stewards. And he's talking about this. Now watch this. Now he also talks about the ones that are presently in charge. And if you understand how that system works, you'll understand a lot. All right? Now watch this. He says, verse 9, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. And no man, say no man, no man can shut it. Whew, you've had little strength. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Now look at verse 9. All right. You're talking about crowns here. You're talking about the key of the house of David. That's not just a house. That's a monarchy. That is a crown. When you deal with kings and crowns, the crown is authority over all things. Who wears the crown has all authority. Wherever that crown is, it takes authority over all things. The crown is the symbolic rulership of all authority, all power, and all wealth for that region. Wherever that crown is, everything around it must bow. Everything. That's what makes it bow. The crown is what causes it to bow. There are people that are wearing a worldly crown. There is a system of a worldly crown mentioned as Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. You can read about it later. It talks about enriching the kings of the earth. But that is the world's crown. This is God's crown. Amen? There's a kingdom crown and there's a worldly crown. Look at verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Which say, now what are we talking about? We're talking about crowns, house of David, all right? You're talking about monarchies, rulership, control, global control, wealth, everything. The political arena, the whole thing. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan wearing the worldly crown. They think they are from the house of David. They think they have rights, but you are the wrong house. They say they're Jews, they say that they think this all belongs to them. Are you sitting with me? But they're not. Say they're not. They're not the true. But they do what? What? And where are the liars? Suspended in a basket. With lead on the top of it. God caps them off for a season. That's why they cannot believe that they have lost control of all this thing. They're still making excuses while they lost control. Because they don't understand how God is intervening in their plans. They don't understand to this day how they lost that. They had it all ready to go to their next level, and God stopped it for His purpose. Glory to God. I wish I could preach this all over the world. Behold, I will make them come and worship at thy feet and to know that I love thee. Now, don't think of worship like worshiping here. Understand what he's saying here with that. He's talking about a church. I'm going to make their system, and all that it represents, their crown, is going to have to bow down to your crown. But it's not your crown. It's coming from the one who captured the crown. He that had a key of the house of David. Christ himself. He bears that crown. It started in Mount Hebron. It started with Abraham. It's all up in there. Because the crown of David started in Mount Hebron. And that started with Abraham. All of that is coming out. In blessing, God's going to say, in blessing, he sees his heirs on the last day. He was speaking to his whole church, even in the covenant of Abraham. He says, in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. So he sees this crown. He goes, their crown is going to bow. He didn't say he's going to do away with it. It's going to bow. Because that crown's going to come right back in as soon as the church gets lifted out, as soon as the church runs, as soon as the white horse is done, he takes us out, all that system comes back in the earth. And that's when you don't want to be here. Because there's a very clear distinction in chapter 5. He says the kings and priests will reign in the earth. The elders said it. They saw Christ is a lamb being slain with seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God that will soon be sent into the earth. And they started collecting the prayers of the saints, the ones that were synced up. And they started collecting the synced up prayers of the saints so Christ could open the book. He says, worthy is him going to open the book, and out comes the white horse. And he said, now the kings and priests will reign in the earth. See, biblical scholars don't know what to do with that, because in the middle of the tribulation it says the Antichrist was given power over the saints. But here it says they'll reign in the earth. They don't know what to do with that. As far as they're concerned, we're all in the book of Revelation. Okay, one minute you're reigning, and the next minute you're reigned over. Because he says the Antichrist will be given power over the saints in the tribulation. But before it, the saints have power over the whole system. God gives the church power. You see what's happening? He's about to crown the church. That system is about to bow. It's being suspended. It's about to have to release. Said the silver's mine. Hold on. Now it's very important. Said the silver's mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. This wealth transference is being funded by gold. And a whole lot of it. I remember I was standing at that car wash right across the street when I used to work there 20 years ago. And I remember I'm standing there, and this revelation drops one day. And I get this massive, the revelation of the three temples, the three tabernacles. Moses' tabernacle, Solomon's tabernacle, and the last day tabernacle. He says, I will use gold. I've always used gold. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. And I saw the progression. Moses was around 14 million, and then Solomon's was around 48 billion. And all of a sudden, the last day, who knows? And I'm going to use gold. God speaks, I will use gold again. I'm thinking, he's going to use gold. And I'm thinking, I got to go find a gold mine. I understand how he's going to do it. And his global wealth transference and the currency revaluation is coming. It's all being funded by gold. Amen. It's gold back. You don't know it, but have to hold back the reins a little bit. And I saw all that. God is going to, he said, once again, I'll shake the heavens, earth, the silver's mine, the gold mine. God is going to bring global currencies back onto a gold standard. It's already in the works right now. That's part of overriding the fiat-based system. Anyway, I've said enough. Amen. Amen. Come on, Carlos. Help me. Rescue me. rescue me.
I was just going to say that that's really also just one component. There's, oh my goodness, once you go in, because you still have Isaiah 23, which God paints it through another dimension. Then you have Haggai, you have Joel, you have, there's so much that comes through this that it's,
Tyre.
Yeah, you've got Tyre, I mean, which it's all the imagery is there. But there's so many dimensions too, because you've got, of course, the salvation. There's way more than just a salvation. And that's the beauty of, I've used the example of if you were in stocks and like you had insight on what's going to go up and all that. I mean, you wouldn't be shaken because you know what to buy. You know when to buy it and all that. And that's the way the church is. The Church of Philadelphia is aligned with God in that manner. Because when these things are taking place, as a matter of fact, Cody the other day was, Robin when the, what happened at the mall. And these things, God already told us in Isaiah 60 that it was going to take place. Darkness was going to cover the earth. Darkness, great darkness, the peoples. But us, we're in alignment with God. And he says that the light of God's going to rise upon us and we're going to carry his glory. And then he's going to send the Gentiles to our light, which is salvation. He's going to send the kings to the rising of our light, which is people in high places of authority. We're going to have influence. I mean, there's just, yeah, and our part is to be ready to get this word inside of our heart so that we're ready and we're in alignment with God as he's doing all these things. So,
awesome.
Praise God. It's awesome.
I was just going to say, and demonstration, God's aligning us for demonstration, but the response you're getting from sharing what God has brought out of this pastor and like how he's equipped us just to see the response from the word that we're carrying in that setting. I mean, I can just imagine it's awesome. It's an honor when you see it from his eyes. It's an honor to be in his.
Yeah. Amen. So let's close this up. So now when you read Haggai, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. That's happening right now. The treasures of all nations will come into my house. See, God had to shift it from one hand, Shebna, to Eliakim. He has to shift the stewardship over. And to shift that, you have to break a system and cause it to bow to release to another. You see that? That's happening. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. The glory of this latter-day house will be greater than the former. It's all coming in now. When that comes, that is going to be the event to know that you know the book has been opened. When the wealth transference begins, the book has been opened. Amen? Don't you know that God's going to go announce to the world that that book has been opened? That the revelation, the book of Revelation, is not in front of you anymore? It's not something you can put out to the next generation. You're in the time. Do you think he's just going to send us with a word? Or is he going to back it up with power that nobody else has? The Lord said, if you cannot believe what I say, believe the works. They're testifying of what I say. If you don't believe that we've seen him open the book, I believe some of the corporate eyewitness that we've been believing for. We're just talking to you now. We're out there so far tonight anyways. Might as well. Don't come back. Amen. I believe the corporate eyewitness is... we're going to get to see him open the book. Amen. We're going to testify of that. I believe that the end time apostles are going to be testifying. That book's been open. You don't get 50 more years. You don't get it anymore because that's God's last mercy before the 7 year. And even in 7 years, he can extend mercy, but not like he's going to extend it before. Why is he doing that? Why is he going to testify that he controls the wealth of the world? Because another leader is coming that will declare himself the God of this world, the God of the global money supplies, everything, the Antichrist. And God's going to testify to the world beforehand. Amen. Everyone say amen. Folks, we're living in the time. Let's give God glory for this. We're living in the hour right now. That's what I'm saying. We are in season right now. God has got it together. Praise God. There are very few people can see this way. But it's all embedded. All those mysteries are there for a reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Verse 10, Revelation 3, and we'll close this part of it. Because thou hast kept my word and my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So we know it's a last day church. We know because he's telling them specifically, I'm going to keep you from the hour, which is the 7-year tribulation. I'm going to keep you from that. You're not going through it. Everyone say, you're not going through it. But he tells them, behold, I come quickly. Watch for my coming. You're the church I'm coming for. Behold, hold that fast which you have. Let no man, what? Take your crown. No other church was given a crown in the earth. Not one of them. Smyrna was promised one after. Nobody was promised one in the earth. That crown came from the house of David. And that crown will cause the systems of the world to bow. And that crown is coming. When you hear us say, crown us, Lord, we're talking about that crown. Amen. That's the crown of Zechariah 6. That's the crown of Revelation 3. That's the crown in chapter 5 when it says the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. The rider of the white horse was what? Wearing a what? What? A crown. There was what? Given him a crown. The rider was wearing a crown.
Well, I don't know if anybody knows about this, but I was watching a documentary about the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount, you know, it's shared between Israel and the Muslims. Well, one of the things is the Jewish people, they're, because of their traditions, they're like stuck on the Temple Mount being the place where they're going to build the temple. But what they found, the archaeologists found, is that this isn't actually where the temple was built. Because, for one, there is a there's a place, the city of David. Well, let me just get to it. The city of David, which isn't far from the Temple Mount, is where they've discovered that the actual city, well, the temple was actually built, not on the Temple Mount. But the whole problem is the traditions of the Jewish people, they're holding on to that. You know, their traditions of this is where it is. We know we're going to stand on this until they come to the place where they finally give in, like, okay, we see the evidence. We see everything that's going on. And so we're going to accept that this is it. Then they can start building the temple. And at that point, then when you see that happening, you know where we're at.
Yeah, you're in the 7 years.
But the thing is it's there and it's ready. And we don't have to fight with the Muslims to try to get that. You know, it's not like a struggle anymore, because once they accept it, there's no more struggle. And then they can just freely go start building.
That's awesome. Isn't that good? Praise God. Woof. Let's give God glory. There is one other church, just FYI, Church of Laodicea. Just notice what it says about this church. It says, the angel of the Church of Laodiceans write, these things saith he, is faithful and true. I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, because you're lukewarm and you're neither cold nor hot. I will spew thee out of my mouth. He's not pretty happy with him. Notice what he said about him. Because you say, and this is why he was upset. Listen to this. Because you say, what? I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. And I have what? Need of nothing. They are the church of self-sufficiency. They received the crown just like the Church of Philadelphia did. They went the other way. What the Church of Philadelphia, you kept my word to the end. I'll keep you from the hour. This church, I don't need anything. I have everything I need. See the difference? One of them was highly dependent on God. The other one didn't even need God anymore. They were cold. That church is going to be born when the Church of Philadelphia is born. It's all a matter of the heart at that point. Amen? He did not say that that church was not going to go through. Just FYI. He didn't tell them, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. Quiet in this Presbyterian church now. Say, I'm not that church. Man, praise God. What happened today that was so significant in acknowledging Jerusalem is their right now. That was significant for us. It's our right to build now. He was saying, we acknowledge your right to build. what temple we're building, a different temple, a spiritual one, but it's in line with what's going on with that one. Isn't that awesome? One more hand of glory. Let's give God glory. Praise God.